Hello, welcome to Season 3 of the CoreCast. We're so excited to be back, offering another amazing season dedicated to keeping you informed about health, wellness, both physical and mental, exercise, nutrition, Pilates, and much more. Stay tuned for an exciting season ahead. I'm your host, Chris Harris, and I'm a certified personal trainer and Pilates instructor who's been working with clients for the past 18 years to help them improve their health by helping them reach their fitness goals. Today, we're going to delve into the intricate relationship between exercise and our bodies. We're going to explore the science behind breaking a sweat, the hidden mechanisms that power our metabolism, and the secrets to unlocking your body's full potential. In this episode, we'll unravel the mysteries behind exercise-induced changes in your body. We'll dive into the fascinating world of exercise physiology and explore how physical activity affects our bodies. We'll also cover the physiological effects of exercise and discuss some practical strategies for effective recovery. Whether you're a seasoned athlete or just starting your fitness journey, understanding how exercise impacts your physiology is crucial. So let's get started. We're going to start off by discussing exercise's effects on the cardiovascular, muscular, respiratory, and endocrine systems. For the cardiovascular system, one of the things that happens is your heart rate will increase. When you exercise, your heart pumps faster to deliver oxygen and nutrients to working muscles. Regular physical activity strengthens the heart, improving its efficiency. Exercise also enhances blood circulation, reducing the risk of cardiovascular diseases like hypertension and stroke. Blood vessels widen during exercise, also called vasodilation, which allows more blood to flow and aids in nutrient delivery and waste removal. Exercise has both short and long-term effects on the cardiovascular system. Let's delve into the specifics. Some short-term effects are faster heart contractions. During physical activity, your heart contracts more rapidly. This leads to an increased heart rate and improved circulation, ensuring that oxygenated blood reaches your muscles more efficiently. Also, more forceful heart contractions. With each heartbeat, your heart pumps a greater volume of blood throughout your body, and this enhanced forcefulness helps meet the increased demand during exercise. As for long-term effects, improved cardiovascular efficiency. Over time, regular exercise makes your heart and lungs more efficient, and this means that it can deliver oxygen and nutrients to your tissues more effectively. Also, long-term means decreased resting heart rate. As you become more conditioned, your resting heart rate decreases. A lower resting heart rate indicates that your heart doesn't need to work as hard to circulate blood. Also, exercise improves your ability to take deeper and longer breaths, allowing you to extract more oxygen from the air. Consistent physical activity lowers the risk of heart disease by promoting overall cardiovascular health. It's good to remember that individual responses to exercise can vary, so it's really essential to consult with your doctor before starting a new exercise routine. Regular physical activity not only benefits your heart, but also contributes to overall well-being. Now on to the muscular system. Different types of exercise engage specific muscle fibers. Endurance exercise recruits slow twitch fibers, while strength training activates fast twitch fibers. Regular exercise promotes the formation of new mitochondria within muscle cells, enhancing energy production. We're going to talk a little bit about the long-term and short-term effects of exercise on the muscular system. In the short term, muscles can become fatigued during factors like impaired blood flow, ion imbalances, and lactic acid accumulation. Microtrauma, such as small muscle fiber tears caused by eccentric contractions, also contribute to muscle soreness. In the long term, regular exercise, especially weight training, leads to muscle growth or hypertrophy. Specific muscle groups can become stronger, and cross-education may result in hypertrophy in opposite muscles. Muscle metabolic capacity will also improve in the long term. High-intensity anaerobic exercise stimulates glycolic enzyme synthesis, while endurance aerobic exercise enhances capillaries and mitochondria development. The respiratory system. Increased oxygen intake is something that happens when your lung capacity improves, which allows you to take in more oxygen during physical exertion. Better oxygen and carbon dioxide exchange occurs in the lungs, benefiting overall health. VO2 max, also known as maximal oxygen consumption or maximal aerobic capacity, is a crucial measure of understanding your body's fitness and endurance capabilities. Let's dive into some details. VO2 max represents the maximum amount of oxygen that your body can consume and utilize during intense physical exertion. It's measured in milliliters of oxygen consumed per kilogram of body weight per minute. A higher VO2 max indicates better cardiovascular fitness and endurance. Cardiovascular efficiency is when that VO2 max reflects how well that your heart pumps blood to your muscles and how efficiently your muscles extract oxygen from the circulating blood. As you exercise, oxygen powers a metabolic reaction in muscle cells, producing ATP, the energy source for muscle contractions. During exercise, your body will increase oxygen intake and you breathe faster and deeper to meet energy demands. VO2 max is typically assessed through a cardiopulmonary exercise test. You'd wear a mask over your face while running on a treadmill, cycling, or performing other cardiovascular activities. The mask records your oxygen consumption and carbon dioxide production. Heart rate is monitored at different exercise intensities, and this test provides data on how many calories you burn at various exercise levels. Professional athletes often have higher VO2 max numbers, but regular exercise can slow its decline with age. To enhance VO2 max, engage in activities like running, swimming, or cycling that challenge your cardiovascular system. Interval training is really important, alternating between high-intensity bursts and recovery periods. Reducing excess fat can positively impact your VO2 max. Consult with a professional to develop a personalized exercise zone for optimal fat burning. And remember that understanding your VO2 max provides valuable insights into your overall health and training effectiveness. Exercise can affect the respiratory system in both the short term and long term. In short term effects, during exercise, your heart and lungs work harder to supply oxygen to the muscles. Breathing becomes deeper and faster, allowing more oxygen intake and efficient removal of carbon dioxide. In the long term, regular exercise strengthens the respiratory muscles, making them more efficient at oxygen exchange. Over time, you're less likely to become short of breath during physical activity. Specific exercises can enhance diaphragm strength and promote deeper, more effective breathing. The endocrine system. Exercise triggers the release of endorphins, or those feel-good hormones, and regulates insulin sensitivity. Intense exercise stimulates growth hormone production, aiding tissue repair and muscle growth. Short-term effects for the endocrine system include hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, noradrenaline, and dopamine, which increase during maximal exercise due to sympathetic nervous system activation. In the long term, the human growth hormone, or HGH, produced by the pituitary gland, promotes cellular growth, muscle development, and fat metabolism. Exercise, especially high-intensity strength or cardiorespiratory workouts, stimulate that HGH release. Cortisol, released during stress, including exercise, manages the blood sugar levels and metabolism. Testosterone is another hormone that increases with exercise, impacting growth, libido, and mood. Excessive exercise can be detrimental, leading to chronic fatigue and overtraining syndrome. Let's explore a little bit more about how female hormones interact with exercise across different life stages. During the teenage years of 12 to 18, menstrual cycle becomes more predictable due to the monthly fluctuations of estrogen and progesterone levels. Exercise recommendations for bone health is physical activity will increase the bone mineral density and stimulate bone density augmentation. You want to avoid excessive intense exercise to prevent loss of regular menstrual cycles, hormone dysregulation, and decreased bone density. Prioritize adequate sleep, recovery days, hydration, and a healthy diet without calorie restriction. In the young adult and reproductive years, from 18 to the 40s, the menstrual cycle is governed by monthly hormonal changes. Some exercise considerations include exercise programs that respect the hormonal systems and symptoms of the female reproductive system. Adapt exercises for therapeutic and general health benefits. And make sure that adequate caloric intake is crucial to prevent that hormonal decline. During menopause and in the postmenopausal years, estrogen will decline. They decrease significantly. High estrogen levels are essential for muscle maintenance. And as you get older and as estrogen declines, it's more difficult for that muscle maintenance to occur. During breathing rates, blood sugar levels, and strength may be impacted by menopausal hormonal changes. Prioritize protein intake before and after exercise for nutrition. And remember that, of course, individual responses to exercise and hormonal changes can vary. Always consult with a healthcare professional to tailor exercise routines to your specific needs. And it's really important to note if you have any underlying health conditions to let your doctor know before you start an exercise routine, regardless of your age or health status. We're going to take a little bit of a look at the science behind sweating. Sweating is a fascinating physiological process that plays a crucial role in maintaining our body temperature and overall health. We're going to look at the science behind it. Our internal body temperature typically hovers around 98 degrees Fahrenheit. When our body gets too hot due to external temperatures, physical activity, or fever, it can lead to serious conditions like heat stroke. To prevent this, our hypothalamus, a brain region, signals eccrine sweat glands distributed all over the body to start producing sweat. But here's the catch. Simply dripping sweat won't cool us down effectively. Sweating cools us down through a principle of physics called the heat of vaporization. As sweat evaporates off our skin, it takes energy or heat with it. This process converts excess body heat into vapor, effectively lowering our temperature. However, it also means we lose water in the process. The key to release heat through sweat can easily evaporate from our skin. The efficient cooling mechanism allowed our ancestors to run a long distance while hunting, or making us one of the few mammals capable of endurance running. Horses are the other endurance runners thanks to their four legs. While sweating cools us down, it also depletes our water reserves. Water is essential for every organ in our body, so when you're sweating, remember to drink plenty of water to replace what you lose. Hydration and sweating share an intricate relationship. Let's explore how they're connected. Fluid balance is one. Our body is about 60% water, and maintaining this balance is crucial for overall health. When we sweat, we lose water and electrolytes like sodium and potassium. Proper hydration helps replenish those losses. Sweat consumption. Sweat isn't just plain water, it contains essential electrolytes. When we're well hydrated, our sweat has the right balance of those electrolytes. But if we're dehydrated, the concentration of electrolytes in our sweat increases. Cooling mechanism. Sweating is our body's natural air conditioner. As sweat evaporates from our skin, it takes heat with it, cooling us down. Without adequate hydration, the cooling process becomes less effective. Thermoregulation. We talked about this a little earlier. When we're hot due to exercise, heat, or fever, our hypothalamus signals sweat glands to produce sweat. This cools us down. But if we're dehydrated, our body struggles to regulate temperature. Severe dehydration impairs our ability to cool down, and it can lead to heat exhaustion or even heat stroke. So staying hydrated is crucial, especially during hot weather or intense physical activity. The color of our urine is a good indicator of hydration. Pale yellow urine suggests proper hydration, while dark yellow or amber urine indicates dehydration. Remember, drink water regularly to keep your body well hydrated. Whether you're sweating during a workout or just enjoying a sunny day, proper hydration ensures your body functions optimally. The optimal daily water intake varies based on several factors. Some general recommendations are ideally men should consume 3 to 3.7 liters, or about 13 to 15.5 cups, of water per day. For women, the recommendation for intake is 2.7 liters, which is approximately 11.5 cups daily. Individualized factors like body weight may make a difference. A common rule of thumb is to drink 35 milliliters of water per kilogram of body weight. Adjust this based on your weight. If you're physically active or exercise, you'll need more water to compensate for sweat loss. Hot and humid climates increase water needs due to higher perspiration. And pregnant individuals require additional hydration for fetal development. As we talked about before, the pale yellow urine indicates good hydration. Dry mouth, thirst, and dark urine are signs of dehydration. And those individual needs will vary, so listen to your body. Here's some intriguing facts about sweat. Sweat itself is odorless, but it has distinct smells associated with it coming from bacteria on our skin, breaking down the proteins and acids in our sweat. So blame the bacteria for those gym locker room scents. The different types of sweat glands that we have eccrine glands, and those are the most common sweat glands that are found all over the body. These help regulate temperature by producing a watery salt-based sweat. And the apocrine glands, these are glands that are primarily in our armpits and groin area. Unlike the eccrine glands, the apocrine sweat contains more protein and lipids. When bacteria feast on this type of sweat, it produces a stronger odor. Stress, anxiety, and excitement can trigger a different type of sweat. Emotional sweat contains more fatty acids, which bacteria love. So if you're nervous before a big presentation, your armpits might be working overtime. Humans are among the few mammals capable of endurance running. Sweating and cooling efficiently allowed our ancestors to chase down prey over long distances. Sweat isn't just water, it has electrolytes like sodium and potassium. And that helps our body balance and hydrate. And salt crystals are left behind. Those are those white streaks on your skin after sweating, after the sweat evaporates. Some people naturally sweat more than others due to factors like genetics, fitness level, and environmental conditions. And contrary to what you might think, cold sweat isn't always a sign of being cold. It can occur during intense fear or shock. Regular exercise increases our sweat rate, which is excellent for detoxification and overall health. And despite the myth, sweat itself doesn't cause acne. However, leaving sweaty workout clothes on for too long can contribute to skin issues. Remember that sweating is our body's way of keeping us cool and maintaining balance. So next time you break a sweat, appreciate that intricate science behind it. Sweating may seem a bit gross, but it's vital for our survival. We're going to talk next a little bit about strategies for recovery after exercise, including things with nutrition, hydration, sleep, and a couple different forms of recovery. Nutrition is a big one. Post-workout nutrition. Think about consuming about 20 to 40 grams of protein after exercise to repair muscle damage and promote growth. Eating protein before a workout enhances muscle protein synthesis. Restore glycogen levels by consuming carbs with a high glycemic index. For example, white rice, potatoes are good ones after intense exercise. Prioritize whole foods and minimize ultra-processed items and ensure that you're meeting all nutrient requirements. And of course, as we've talked about before, proper hydration aids in recovery and prevents muscle cramps. Quality rest and sleep is important. Sleep is when your body repairs and regenerates. Aim for 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep each night. Active recovery. That includes things like low-intensity movement. Gentle activities like walking or swimming can improve blood flow, reduce muscle soreness, and aid in recovery. Things like contrast baths. Alternating between hot and cold water can enhance circulation and reduce inflammation. And this is a big one. Avoid overtraining. Listen to your body. Pushing too hard without adequate rest can lead to burnout and injury. Schedule regular rest days to allow your body to fully recover. We're going to discuss a little bit more about amino acids and their role in exercise and recovery. Amino acids are the fundamental building blocks of proteins, playing a crucial role in various biological processes. Let's explore their significance and discover some effective ways to replenish them after exercise. Amino acids are essential for building and repairing tissues. They form the backbone of proteins, which are vital for muscle growth, enzyme function, and immune system health. During exercise, muscle fibers experience micro tears. Amino acids help repair and regenerate these damaged tissues. Enzymes are proteins that facilitate chemical reactions in the body. Amino acids are essential for enzyme structure and activity. Enzymes play a role in digestion, metabolism, and energy production. Amino acids are also precursors to neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine. These neurotransmitters regulate mood, cognition, and overall brain function. Some amino acids enhance immune responses by promoting antibody production and immune cell function. Glutamine, for instance, is crucial for immune health. Amino acids will also contribute to the synthesis of hormones such as insulin, growth hormone, and thyroid hormones. Hormones regulate various physiological processes. Essential amino acids are crucial for our health, as our bodies cannot produce them on their own. We must obtain them from our diet. Here are 9 essential amino acids. Histidine, essential for tissue growth and repair, as well as maintaining the myelin sheath around nerve cells. Isoleucine, supports muscle metabolism, immune function, and energy production. Leucine, vital for muscle protein synthesis and overall muscle health. Lysine, important for collagen formation, calcium absorption, and immune system function. Methionine, aids in detoxification, protein synthesis, and antioxidant production. Phenylalanine is a precursor for neurotransmitters like dopamine and norepinephrine. Threonine is essential for protein balance, collagen synthesis, and immune responses. Tryptophan converts to serotonin, impacting mood, sleep, and appetite. And valine supports muscle growth, tissue repair, and energy production. While animal proteins such as meat, eggs, and poultry are excellent sources of essential amino acids, some plant foods like soy products, including edamame and tofu, also provide all 9 essential amino acids. Remember, these amino acids are the building blocks that keep our bodies functioning optimally. Replenishing those amino acids after exercise is really vital. Consuming protein-rich meals. Timing matters. Aim to eat within 30 minutes to 2 hours after exercise. Include complete protein sources that provide all essential amino acids. Some examples include lean meats like chicken, turkey, and fish, eggs, dairy products like Greek yogurt and cottage cheese, or plant-based options like quinoa, hemp, and soy. Protein supplements. If whole foods are not immediately available, consider protein supplements like whey protein shakes. Whey protein contains all the essential amino acids and is rapidly absorbed. Balanced meals. Combine protein with complex carbohydrates, for example, brown rice or sweet potatoes, to replenish glycogen stores. Healthy fats like avocados and nuts can also support recovery. And again, we talk about hydration. Proper hydration aids in amino acid transport and overall recovery. Water helps maintain optimal cellular function. And again, we talked about it earlier, but the recommended daily fluid intake for adults varies based on factors like health, activity level, and climate. The guidelines are for men, adequate daily fluid intake of about 15.5 cups, which includes fluids from water, other beverages, and food. And for women, recommended is about 11.5 cups, considering both drink sources. Branched chain amino acids, or BCAAs, are leucine, isoleucine, and valine, and they're essential for muscle repair. Consider BCAA supplements or foods rich in BCAAs. As always, individual needs will vary based on factors like exercise intensity, body weight, and goals. Listening to your body and prioritizing quality nutrition give those hardworking muscles the amino acids that they deserve. And after a workout, your body will crave specific nutrients to optimize recovery. Some ideas for some delicious post-workout meals that will help you refuel and repair include things like egg whites and whole grain bread. Egg whites are quick digesting, providing protein. Whole grain bread offers convenient and medium digesting carbs. Or low-fat milk and oatmeal. Milk contains whey protein, which is ideal for pre-workout. Oats provide slow digesting energy, keeping you focused during your workout. Another good idea is Greek yogurt with fresh fruit and honey. Greek yogurt offers protein, fresh fruit provides quick digesting carbs, and honey adds natural sweetness. Or how about a turkey wrap with veggies? Turkey provides lean protein, adding veggies and whole grain wraps for sustained energy. Scrambled eggs and whole wheat toast are great for those protein and complex carbs. Some post-workout meals are oats, Greek yogurt, and fruit. Oats replenish glycogen stores. Greek yogurt provides protein, and fresh fruits add vitamin and antioxidants. Or try grilled chicken with yam and asparagus. Chicken offers protein for muscle repair. Yams provide your complex carbs, and asparagus adds fiber and nutrients. Or how about a salmon grain bowl? Salmon provides healthy fats and protein. Whole grains like quinoa or brown rice offer sustained energy, or load up with veggies for vitamins and minerals. Grilled chicken with roasted vegetables and rice. Again, that grilled chicken provides high-quality protein for muscle repair. Roasted vegetables offer the vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants, and brown rice replenishes glycogen stores. Another favorite is an egg omelet with avocado spread on whole grain toast. Eggs are rich in protein and essential amino acids. Avocado provides healthy fats and potassium, and whole grain toast, again, adds to that complex carbs. There's so many more that we could cover. But remember that aiming to eat your post-workout meal within 30 minutes to 2 hours after exercise will help to maximize your recovery. Remember to hydrate well, listen to your body, and enjoy those nutrient-packed meals. I like this quote by Hippocrates. It kind of sums up what we've talked about today. If we could get every individual the right amount of nourishment and exercise, not too little and not too much, we would have found the safest way to health. Remember that exercise isn't just about burning calories. It's a holistic experience that transforms your body from the inside out. So keep moving, nourish yourself wisely, and prioritize recovery. Your body will thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the CoreCast. Until next time, stay active, stay healthy, and keep those endorphins flowing. Make sure to join us next week for another amazing episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider donating at the link provided in the description to help us support the work that we do behind the scenes to bring these episodes to you every week. We really greatly appreciate your support. Until next time, stay healthy and stay well.